We will read today a text from the second chapter of the 10th canto. It's the 18th text about really a very confidential secret of Krishna's appearance. Just have to arrange all the books here. It's the dream of any lecturer to be called for a second day like Jamashtami and to try to explain something of value of the experience, of the appearance of Lord Krishna. As we heard yesterday from the Bhagavad Gita, that if we can just understand with affection the appearance and the activities of Krishna, then we will follow the path which many souls have taken in the past, the path which brings us back to Godhead. So to try to understand the appearance of Krishna and his activities on Jamashtami day is actually a great service called Shravanam and Kirtanam. It's the beginning of our devotional life. So today, please perform this service of hearing very patiently and trying to understand. It will be a little challenging this morning. We will have to concentrate to try to understand. And then, please encourage me, because I have to perform the service of Kirtanam, glorifying Krishna, this morning. So let us try.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 18.
Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sam. Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sam. Samahidam surasutena devi.
Samahidam surasutena devi.
Dadara savatmakamatma bhutam. Kashtaya dananda karang manasta. Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sam. Samahidam surasutena devi.
Samahidam surasutena devi.
Tadara savatmakamatma bhutam.
Tadara savatmakamatma bhutam.
Kashtaya dananda karang manasta.
Kashtaya dananda karang manasta.
Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sam.
Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sam.
Samahidam surasutena devi.
Samahidam surasutena devi.
Dada rasavat makamat mabhutam. Kashta yata ananda karang manasta.
Kashta yata ananda karang manasta.
Friends, please. To start, but I'm very sorry, I forgot to make one announcement. If you have small children under the age of 5 who need other engagement than listening to a Bhagavatam lecture, please do take care of them outside of the temple room so that they don't feel bored and restless and then make sounds. It's your duty as a parent to take care of the children. But you can listen to the recorded lectures afterwards and then get the benefit of hearing about Krishna. Tata. Thereafter. Jagat Mangalam. Auspiciousness for all living entities and all the universes of the creation. Achyutangsam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is never bereft of the six opulences. all of which are present in all his plenary expansions.
All of which are present in all his plenary expansions.
Samahitam.
Samahitam.
Fully transferred.
Fully transferred.
Shurasutena.
Shurasutena.
By Vasudeva, the son of Shurasena.
By Vasudeva, the son of Shurasena.
Devi,
Devi,
Devaki Devi,
Devaki Devi,
Dadada,
Dadada,
carried,
carried,
Savatmakam,
Savatmakam,
the supreme soul of everyone,
the supreme soul of everyone,
Atmabhutam, the cause of all causes,
the cause of all causes,
Kashta,
Kashta,
the east, Yata,
yata,
just as,
yata,
Anandakaram,
Anandakaram,
the blissful moon,
Manastaha,
being placed within the mind.
Being placed within the mind.
Translation. Actually, before we read the translation, we should hear the verses before so that we get the context. We will hear now texts about Krishna's transcendental appearance. Transcendental means beyond the laws of material nature. Now the ordinary appearance of a child, which is not transcendental, is that he travels into the womb of the mother through the semen of his father. And the pregnancy develops by the known biological laws. Now Krishna's appearance is different. He became the son of Vasudev and Devaki, but how he became the son of Vasudev and Devaki was not a biological activities of or a result of a biological activities as we know amongst human beings, but it was something else, and the Bhagavatam will tell us now about this conception. It says that first the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys the fear of his devotees, entered into the mind of Vasudev. There's a prayer in Nectar of Devotion where this entering into the mind of the devotee is really described as the conception. The demigods pray to Lord Nrisingadev, our heart was so full of fear of this demon of Hiranyakashipu, but now you have again entered our heart, whew, and made us fearless. So it means when you are fearful in your spiritual life, you will not be able to think of Krishna very much. So Krishna now has entered the fearful Vasudev, who was in the prison house. He has entered into the heart and driven out all fear. And it's described what the result was. Vasudev had now the Lord in his heart, and as a result he had a transcendental effulgence. He looked bright, full of light, and it was difficult to look at him. It says here, he was therefore very difficult to see or approach. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable even for such formidable men as Kamsa. Huh? We know this. When someone is Krishna conscious, he has something. We feel he's different. When he walks over the street, people react to him and say, well, yes, and, oh, they don't know. It's unperceivable for them. It's unconceivable for them. But there is something about him. And we know when someone loses Krishna in the heart, which does happen also to a devotee of Krishna, who momentarily becomes overwhelmed by material influences, he just loses that something. He becomes a little unsomething, so to say. We can see that. We can feel it, and we feel very, very sorry for him, and we want to help him in all conceivable ways to somehow bring Krishna back in his life so that he again has this something. Good. So this is explained in the preceding verses, text 16 and 17, but that's not the verse of today. What is now explained in the 18th verse, you kindly hear. Thereafter, you know, after Manastha, after Krishna had come into the mind of Vasudev, into the heart of Vasudev also, thereafter, together with his plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transformed from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki. See, it's not, the Bhagavatam says, it was not the ordinary biological process by which a child is conceived in this world. No, it happened extraordinary. From the mind of Vasudev, or the heart of Vasudev, he came to the mind and heart of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudev, it was an initiation. Krishna was brought from Vasudev to Devaki. She also became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her own heart. Just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Krishna is born in the moon dynasty, the Chandravamsa, and now he is rising in the heart of Devaki. Purport. As indicated here by the word Manastha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was transferred from the core of Vasudev's mind or heart to the core of the heart of Devaki. We should note carefully that the Lord was transferred to Devaki not by the ordinary way for a human being, but by Diksha, initiation. Thus the importance of initiation is mentioned here. Unless one is initiated by the right person, who always carries within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of one's own heart. The word Achyutangsam is used because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Shat Aishvarya Purna, full in the opulences of wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. The Supreme Godhead is never separated from his personal opulences, as stated in the Brahma Sanghita. Rama dimuti shukala niyamena tishtan. The Lord is always situated with all his plenary expansions, such as Rama, Narsingha, and Varaha. Therefore, the word Achyutangsam is specifically used here, signifying that the Lord is always present with his personal expansions and opulences. It means Krishna had appeared now in the heart of Vasudev and had gone to the heart of Devaki, but he was not alone, he was together with all his expansions, Nishingha, Vamana, Rama, yes, and etc. Now Prabhupada gets on our case, or he says something to us which is an instruction. There is no need to think of the Lord artificially as yogis do. Yanavastitata gatena manasa pashyanti yang yoginaha. Yogis meditate upon the Supreme Person within the mind. For a devotee, however, the Lord is present, and his presence need only be awakened through initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. It means if you have taken proper initiation, Krishna will be with you. No need of an artificial process. He has been given to you. The Lord did not need to live within the womb of Devaki, for his presence within the core of her heart was sufficient to carry him. One is here forbidden to think that Krishna was begotten by Vasudev within the womb of Devaki, and that she carried the child within her womb. So he was not within the womb of Devaki, but he was within the core of her heart, which was sufficient to carry him. I now wonder, really, when I hear this, Devaki's womb looked swollen, I think on the pictures at least. But here we hear, the Lord did not need to live within the womb of Devaki, for his presence within the core of her heart was sufficient to carry him. So we have to now think about the pictures. When Vasudev was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure unalloyed heart of Vasudev is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere and specifically within the heart is called Dham. Dham refers not only to Krishna's form, but to his name, his form, his quality, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Can you still concentrate, or are you becoming tired? Lochan, you are struggling. What do we do? It's a philosophical text early in the morning on an empty stomach. I realize it's a challenge. But please try to do the service of concentrating. I know it's more difficult than building a temple. It's to concentrate on listening to Prabhupada's word, but we have to do it. It's seva. Thus the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudev. He was beyond the conditions of the ordinary living entity. Yes. I will make I will jump over a few paragraphs because it may be too difficult to concentrate for such a long time on a text. I will come to the last paragraph. Commenting upon this verse, Sri Viraragava Acharya writes, Vasudeva Devaki Yathala Yor Hridaya Yor Bhagavata Sambandaha. The Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudev was a heart-to-heart relationship. A heart-to-heart relationship. Wonderful. So this was the morning text. Thank you very, very much for your attention. Now we will try to say something in a lively way so that it's easier.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Chunyavadi Paskachare Zadarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Vasadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. We have, I have entitled this lecture, The Inconceivable Birth of the Person Who is Never Born. Lord Krishna describes about this paradox that although he's really unborn, he doesn't take birth in the sense of how we understand birth to take place by seminal impregnation of the qualified man to the qualified his qualified wife. There, although he doesn't, that's not the way he comes. He still comes, and he picks parents. Ajo pisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritim svam adishtaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Here Krishna speaks personally. Just imagine, we are standing before the Lord and said, you are unborn, how do you take birth? Please give an tell us. We want to know. It's your appearance day, and here is. Although I'm unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I'm the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Prabhupada says, although he may appear like an ordinary person who takes birth, he remembers everything of his many, many past. And apostrophes birth. Whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done even a few hours before. So Krishna always keeps his Krishnahood, his being Krishna, he doesn't lose like we lose whenever we take birth and so on. And he's the Lord. And his appearance, as we learned in this verse, does take is a heart-to-heart matter. He appears in the heart of one great devotee. And then, in this case, Vasudev, who is very, very qualified in many, many ways, and who is an unalloyed devotee of Krishna, who since several lifetimes had the desire that Krishna appeared as his son, and then from Vasudev's heart, he enters the heart of Devaki. It's a transcendental, not a material process. When Kamsa, the brother of Devaki, saw what had happened to his sister, he trembled in fear. Kamsa was, as we heard yesterday, against Krishna's appearance. In fact, he had heard a prophecy foretelling that the eighth son of his sister Devaki would kill him. He had heard this prophecy from the Devatas, who had spoken it from the sky when he was just about 200 meters away from the house of Devaki. You know, he had volunteered to drive his sister to the house of Vasudev on his chariot. He was just 200 meters away. They were from the house of Devaki. There were many chariots, the Bhagavatam describes. Golden chariots, 1,000 chariots were there. And many, many people were witnessing this royal marriage. But in the midst of it, there was this Akashvani, this voice from the sky. Kamsa, you fool! You are carrying, you are driving your sister whose eighth pregnancy will kill you. This was an insult. Imagine you enter, you go out of the temple room and it says, Sachinandan, you fool! You look, I am a fool, but it's a festival day. It's a very auspicious day, and I think my ego would be very, very disturbed and uncontrollable. Minority complexes and anger would arise in my heart. But if there's no one and it's from the sky, an Akashvani, you know. So Kamsa, in the public assembly, was called a fool. This was really like trampling on the snake, you know. And then when he heard the prophecy, he was prepared to kill Devaki on the spot. He grabbed her hair, which was full with flowers, and beautiful flowers, in fact. And there was still fresh kumkum, all the decorations of a married woman. Devaki was so happy, and he was prepared to kill her with a sword in the midst of this assembly, and then just put the guillotine on her, you know, just behead her. Anyways, Gaurahari told me I should not talk about these things because it's too heavy in the morning, and I will refrain from talking about this horrible situation. So Kamsa now watched his sister, and in her eighth, when she had her eighth pregnancy and started to glow and shine like Vasudev was shining when he was carrying Krishna, he trembled in fear. He knew my sister is carrying the one who will kill me. He was really fearful. He couldn't tolerate that light, that effulgence of Devaki. And then we hear a little later in the Bhagavatam how Krishna then finally appeared in the prison house. And it's so beautiful that I would request you to listen to the Bhagavatam text again. This is the appearance now. All of a sudden, the atmosphere became so blissful that the demigods, I'm quoting now directly, and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thunder. Boom, boom, boom. Like very mild, because Krishna is very small. Not too loud, please. Making sounds like those of the ocean waves. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of the night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category of Sri Krishna. This same category means the Vasudev state of consciousness. She was of that category. And then, you know, Krishna had appeared from the heart of Devaki. He was previously shining, being in the heart of Devaki and filling her with this transcendental shine. And then, as he appeared from the heart, he entered the space of the bird. He entered the prison house. And the reaction of Vasudev upon seeing the Lord is described in the next verse. And I request you to listen very carefully. Vasudev then saw the newborn child who had very wonderful lotus-like eyes. Eyes were like lotus petals, and who bore in his four hands the four weapons: Shankha, that's the conch shell from which the Aum emanates, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. On his chest was the mark of Sri Vatsa, and on his neck the brilliant Kustuba gem. Can you imagine what was the color of his dress? Yellow, yes. Very, very good. You know everything. Dressed in yellow, his body blackish like a dense cloud. You know, mark the contrast. A beautiful flesh-like yellow and a black-like bodily hue. His scattered hair fully grown. He didn't have a little wet hair, but eine kleine nasse Glatze. He didn't have a wet bald head. No, fully grown hair. And his helmet, listen to this, and earrings sparkling uncommonly with the valuable gem Vaidurya. The child was looking wonderful. He was decorated with a brilliant belt, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments. He was very wonderful. So Vasudev looked on his child, you know, the person who had appeared from his wife. And he was full of wonder. He folded his hands because he saw his extraordinary son. And immediately, because he was just so overwhelmed, he wanted to react to what he saw. It is said, when you see the Lord, there is an immediate reaction which comes from the depths of your soul. It's you want to do some service. So he was in prison. He couldn't do much. He was, you know, in shackles. You know, he was chained to the wall, and he couldn't do much. But in his mind, he just collected 10,000 cows, distributed them amongst the Brahmana as a transcendental festival. Let me do charity. Let me give to those who are dear to this person, who has appeared as my son, the Brahmanas who worship him. Let me do this. So then Vasudev, then Devaki, see the reaction of Devaki. Devaki was overwhelmed in love. But Vasudev, Devaki, just let us appreciate her motherly bhava, thought, my sinful brother Kamsa has killed already my children who came before. Now he will surely try to kill this extraordinary son of mine. And see how strong her motherly affection was. She forgot that my son has a chakra and, you know, there's a fire wheel. No one can stand up to the chakra, not even the most ferocious demon. She forgot that she has a club, that the Lord had his club ready. I mean, there was no danger from Kamsa, but she just was feeling, he had killed all my other children before. Now, we need to hide him. And she said to the Lord, can you please, you know, you look so extraordinary, can you, and so big, can you become small like a baby? And she was, this is called deep, deep motherly feelings, you know. You can see when the mother of the president sees the president, she goes like this and says, show your teeth, have you brushed your teeth properly? And you know, she's forgetting that this is the president, and just motherly relates like a mother to the child, you know. Like when I come, I'm now 56. My mother still sees me when she sees me as her little boy, and she says, are you dressed warm enough? You don't know your limits. You are a very naughty person. You dress more warm. It's winter. Here, take the shawl. So Devaki also had a motherly relationship and was fearing that now if Kamsa sees this extraordinary personality, I mean, he will attack. He's so demoniac. So let us try to hide him behind the curtain in the somewhere so that Kamsa doesn't come and see him. This was Devaki's prayer. This was Devaki's thing. Now, as we heard yesterday, the appearance of the Lord is mystical. Mysterious. It is difficult to understand. And I would love to now prove that it's difficult to understand by telling you what Jiva Goswami writes about the appearance of Krishna in the Gopal Champu. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport of the Bhagavatam that the Goswamis explain that Krishna took his birth not in Mathura but in Braj, in Vrindavan. Here is one of the Goswamis, Jiva Goswami. Rupa Goswami also explains like this, how Krishna apparently appeared in his beautiful Krishna feature in Vrindavan. He says this, let me read this to you, say this to you. He describes a sangha, an association in the spiritual world. There's Snigdha Kanta, Madhu Kanta, two bards. Bards in German would be Barden, you know, two singers. And these two singers, they are small. They sing about Krishna's pastimes to the Brijbasis, who are all assembled like we are assembled in this hall, but it's a huge hall, and many, many devotees of residents of Vrindavan are there. And these two boys sing every day about the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, and the Vrishvasis go, acha, acha, acha. And they're just in bliss about hearing these pastimes. So, one day, they sing about Krishna's extraordinary appearance in the house of Nanda and Yashoda. And as the Brijbasis hear this, all the Satvika Bhavas come in their bodies. These devotees are so close to Krishna. They appeared with Krishna. And as they hear how their Krishna appeared, you know, they begin to cry, and they have goose pimples, and they cannot speak any longer. They are choked. They're just so ecstatic hearing this pastime, and so on. And the two singers explain that two children were born from Yashoda. First Krishna, and then his sister, older sister Yogamaya. And then when they were born, Yogamaya, this internal energy of whom we heard yesterday something, came unseen like the wind and carried Krishna like a wind carries the blue leaf of a lotus. And you know, when Vasudev Krishna, which is the Lord who appeared in the prison before Vasudev, you know, with helmet, fully grown hair, kustuba gem, and the four symbols, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. This Vasudev was just standing there. This Vasudev Krishna was just standing in the prison. And you know, Devaki and Vasudev see him. That moment, Yogamaya carries Krishna from Braj, unseen. Krishna enters into Vasudev, and at this moment, Devaki prays, "Oh, you look so big and so extraordinary. Could you please become my little boy, a little child that we can hide you?" Then at that moment, the Vishnu appears like a little boy before his two parents, Vasudev and Devaki. And then Yogamaya does something else. Have you ever seen, I don't think any one of you sees movies, but when I was a child, I saw a movie. Someone was in prison with shackles, and then his friends came and just took an iron saw opened the shackles. So here Yogamaya does the same thing. Vasudev is in shackles like this in the prison. And then Yogamaya just comes and opens the shackles, opens the doors of the prison, puts all the guards and the leopards, which they have, you know, to guard the prison, into sleep. And then Vasudev sees my shackles, I'm free. I can now do something to hide my little boy, who is just so extraordinary. And he takes little Krishna, goes through the prison, goes through the open doors of the prison, and comes out of the prison. And it's raining like anything. And that night, the Devatas sent a lot of rain. No one is on the street. It's just so damp and so much rain. Everything is free. It's raining like anything, and Vasudev takes his little boy. It feels all blissful, but by carrying him, that runs towards Vrindavan, because he knows there on the other side of the Jamuna is my good friend who is related to our family, Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, and I will hide my boy under his in his shelter. So he runs and he comes to the Yamuna. The Yamuna, because there's this rain, is there is now very broad. Has any one of you ever spent the monsoon time in Vrindavan? Patrick, you have? You have maybe noticed it's so much water that even the streets are covered this much with water. And you go on rickshaw, the rickshaw drivers, you have to take your feet up on the seat and just, and you feel like a boat going through the ocean, you know, as the rickshaw driver is just plying his way through the muddy, not muddy, it's like oceanic streets. And that means the Yamuna is just everywhere in Vrindavan. It's just totally, it's inconceivably high water in monsoon. I was not in Vrindavan, but I was in monsoon. We tried to escape monsoon when we had our preaching party in India. But, whew, my God, the monsoon, it's indescribable. So the Yamuna was filled with this rain. It was really an ocean almost. And Vasudev steps became hesitating. How will I cross Yamuna? And at that moment, Yamuna opened a pathway. There was a wall of water on the left side of Vasudev and another equally high wall of water on the right side of Vasudev. All because of the power of Yoga Maya. And he took Krishna and he went through that water. At that time also, when there was this rain, Ananta Shesha had come. But I don't know if Vasudev had watched. Maybe he saw, he must have seen. He's, you know, when it was so much raining, Ananta Shesha came, a multi-headed snake, and made a baldachin. Do we say in English baldachin? Can we say? I think we understand baldachin, like a roof over the head of Vasudev and Krishna. And then Vasudev brought Krishna back to Vrindavan and in this way the Lord was there. Gopal Champu then describes everything as we know it, and I want to read this to you because it opens into a very nice subject. The subject which I personally feel is to be discussed on Jamashtami. That is, how can Krishna appear in our lives? I think some of you feel, oh, this is a nice narration, but this happened 5,000 years ago. It's really not, it's nice to hear, I mean, once a year, you know, how can we have Krishna now? This is my question. Many devotees have told me this after Jamashtami lectures, and I want to answer this question from Shastric sources. So now Yashoda woke up and saw the newborn child, dark like a blue lotus, and she became joyful. And then a description is given how Krishna looked like. He looked like a sapphire which was shining. You know, if you want to see how a sapphire looks, you can go to Ida Oberstein and ask the museum to show you a sapphire. It's really something. But a shining sapphire where the light comes out is more beautiful. The moon of his face conquered the real moon. It looked more effulgent than the real moon. His eyes were like most astonishing lotuses. When Yashoda saw this beautiful child, she became stunned like a painted picture. She couldn't move any longer. She just like a picture, you know, a lady on the picture is just not moving. She just... like, more beautiful, obviously, but... When Yashoda thought of her child, thinking, is this my child? So beautiful, so extraordinary. Krishna agreed, yes, I am your child, by just crying. And his crying sounded like this. Om. It's a sound of Om. Yes, mother, you are my mother. I'm your child. Yes, 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 yes. Right idea, good idea. I can read your mind. You are asking the question, am I your boy? Yes. He agreed. You know, when you want to agree, you can also say Om. I mean, we don't want to introduce this in the Hare Krishna movement. We better say yes. Or sometimes when we agree, we say Hari Bol. You know, yes, Hari Bol. We say like this. So Krishna agreed. Yes, I'm your son, mother. So Yashoda saw him, there was like a heart-to-heart communication. I think this is done. I mean, when I have not given birth, I mean, let us explain like this. When a mother gives birth to a child and sees her child for the first time, she's overwhelmed with the motherly feelings of, is this my child? Oh, I have a child. Finally, there is a child who is from me, and I am the mother, and they want just to care and care and care for this child for the rest of the life. This is happening in the heart of a mother. And Krishna wanted this service from Yashoda. Therefore, the child agreed by his crying, which seemed to say, yes, yes, yes. So, though Yashoda saw her newly born son, she was unable to call her friends. For to speak of move around. Why? You know, she was still stunned. She was like a painted woman. Like, you know, you see here, Mother Yashoda with her child Krishna on that painting behind you. You know, we won't expect now Mother Yashoda to move out of the picture and call her friends. You know, that we will not expect this to happen. So she couldn't call her friends. She was just there. Her body was agitated because of her desire to care for her child. But now something happens. It's again very inconceivable and very sweet. As the moon, when it rises, makes lotuses, I will explain first, so because it's a little difficult to understand. Krishna had now appeared, and he began to influence people's mind who were far away. And an analogy is given. When a moon rises in the sky, the moon will start to shine on this earth, and the lotus flowers begin to open under the influence. So all people who were spiritually minded could feel this happening, that as Krishna had entered the world and was there, their minds and hearts began to open. And even people in Mathura, all over the world, they felt Krishna entering the heart, just like the moon rays entering the lotuses and making them sprout. And they became Krishna conscious. And this brings me to a very small little subject, which I want to end this lecture with, and then give you opportunity to ask. My dear devotees, how do we get Krishna? How can we experience this, what the Gopalchambhu so wonderfully experienced, that everyone felt Krishna's presence? You know, all of us in Vrindavan, this meant all the ladies of Vrindavan understood. We know he has come, he has come. Our queen has given birth. And they just came like an ocean of people, of ladies. You know, the lady, this is lady affair. Birth is lady affair. So first the ladies come and so on. They all came as Krishna had appeared also in their hearts. And had told them, come, see me, go. And they left their houses and they went to the house of the queen, who was still standing like this, not standing, lying like this, stunned, overwhelmed with the desire to care for her child. And they came in and saw, oh, yes. Yes, he has taken birth. Yes, he's so dark. Wow, and he looks like a sapphire. And, you know, they were talking as ladies talk, overwhelmed, that they all wanted to touch Krishna and hold Krishna to their hearts. And you know, it was like really a lady festival, and so on. So I want to come to this point that although Yashoda didn't inform, Krishna informed everyone, just like the rising moon informs the lotus flowers of his presence. And I think this is very important. Everyone can get Krishna in his heart. And this happens when you hear about Krishna from the devotees. It is said that the spiritual master gives Krishna by Krishna Katha, by talking about Krishna. It's called Veda Diksha, according to Sridhar Swami. That is the initiation by giving the Vedas, the Vedic scriptures. First, we hear about Krishna's form, his dhoti, his hair, his flute playing. And when it gets more refined, then the disciple begins to think about Krishna and get what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes as sambandha jnana. I have a relationship to Krishna. The devotee, if you want Krishna in your heart, you have to come to the state where you feel, Krishna is my master, I'm his servant, I should serve him. This is called sambandha jnana. And in this way, you get what is described there, which you sing every morning, Krishna prapti. What is it? Krishna prapti avaita. Do. Yeah. How do we say Krishna? Yeah, Krishna prapti hoy ya hoy te. Prapti means to get Krishna. In the first verse, we Guru Vandana, we talk about this. We get Krishna from the spiritual master. Or you could say from also devotees who talk about Krishna. That is how we get Krishna. Krishna prapti. We must get Krishna. Only when you get Krishna in this life will you get Krishna after this life. You have to become Krishna conscious now. Not you think, oh, I will just be a little on the beginner state. I will just be satisfied by some and some this and that. No, you have to get Krishna now. It's very important. See, I want to give you an example. I need to learn English now so that tomorrow when I wake up from the sleep, I also speak English. It has never happened that someone goes to bed without knowing English or Sanskrit, then comes the night, and then after the night he starts to speak English or Sanskrit. It just doesn't happen like this. So when you don't so you only when you become Krishna conscious now, and then the dark night of your death will come. You know, then after your death and your next experience, will you be Krishna conscious then? Is it clear from the example? You have to endeavor to get Krishna here in this life, Krishna Prapti, by hearing about him from us. Your goal, it's called gati, needs to be Krishna, and your mati needs to be Krishna. Mati means your inner orientation, your consciousness needs to be Krishna. Whatever you have in this life, you will get in the next. How does this getting Krishna come about? Well, the scripture Prabhupada tells us that the disciple is like the lower Arani wood. It's like wood. The guru is like on top as the other Arani wood. And then hearing Krishna Katha is like the churning. You know, when the Vedic priests would get fire, they would have two Arani woods, one bottom and one top Arani wood. Then they would have something in between. It's called, like in German, it's like a quirl. Then they would quirl it, you know, move it, and then by the movement of that quirl, the churning, thank you, the churning rod, then from the lower Arani wood, a spark would come. And this spark was used to light the sacrificial fire. So this happens also, this is an example given how Krishna consciousness comes. We hear how the Krishna Katha churns our heart, and moves our heart, moves our thoughts. And by this process, the spark of Krishna consciousness comes. I want to now speak some politics, religious polemics. You know, nowadays it has always been that there are movements which say initiation, just get initiated, quick. And that is all. But that is not the process. You have to hear from your spiritual teacher. You have to hear constantly. By this churning the Krishna consciousness appears. In the medieval time, there was one pope who also had this quick initiation process. What he'd do? He would sell letters, you know, letters like this on paper to rich people who could afford them. This was like in nowadays, 500,000 euros, you know, in our currency. And you would get, for 500 euros, a letter from the Pope, and on that letter, you would find, it was a letter to death, you know. This person has my blessings, and he goes back home, back to God, in the heavens. And you know, when these rich men would die, their body would be put in a coffin, and they would have that letter on the chest. And then when they would go, it was hoped that they found that this letter was found. And then my letter, I now go back home to God. It's not so, you know, a little bit more is necessary. So it's not just, initiation is not something like that, you know, that you get, I have a name also, now everything is over, it's all right, nothing more to worry. No, you have to hear, and seva, so much seva is required. Yes, seva, good seva, first class seva, necessary. And then you go, in India there are many movements, you know, just they give initiation and you never see the disciple again. It's not the idea. Okay, the politics is over. You can, or again, those who don't like politics can open their ears again. Now, it's about here getting Krishna. But the problem I find in my life is, how can we accept Krishna? I mean, in the sense, how can we really put him in our heart? Our heart is so full with many material desires. At least my heart is like this. I don't know if you sometimes feel also as frustrated as I am. There's so much lust and anger and enviousness and so on. And I often wonder, okay, I'm hearing about Krishna, I'm reading daily my spiritual master's books, and I try to understand deeper and deeper and so on. But how will bhakti ever come? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes about this. He says, while we perform sarana bhakti in the form of hearing and chanting about Krishna, he says the devotees also enjoy the six material sense objects, which is a secondary effect of bhakti. It's interesting. When you perform bhakti, you also seem to enjoy sense objects. Like here, I got a garland this morning. No, it's a sense object. It's a side effect. Or you get food, or you get good contacts with people. Or some of you were very poor when you joined. Now you drive a big car. I've seen side effects of bhakti, sense objects. You know. So when you are in this situation that yes, you perform spiritual things, but material things also come, and yet you seem to enjoy them, at that time the devotee cries out pitifully, "Oh Krishna, because of this enjoyment, I will fall into the dark well of material existence." You know, the devotee, let me not speak so indirectly. I'm often accused to speak so indirectly. Let me be crystal clear. You perform Krishna consciousness, but you go so often in the cinema. You enjoy material life. You perform Krishna consciousness, but you eat you empty the reform house with your appetite to eat good food. You know, you enjoy material. I want to be crystal clear, because otherwise I get so much criticism always. You want to be Krishna conscious, but yes, there's also sex life or sex desire. This is what is Vishwanath Chakravarti talking about. It's not a problem, according to him. He says the devotee should just be honest with this and cry out pitifully. Pitifully means it brings about mercy. You know, pity. Please have pity on me. Please have mercy on me. So you should call out, "Oh Krishna, this is not good. Because of this enjoyment, I will fall into the dark well of material existence." Now, when a devotee shows fear of the material enjoyment, he is not yet pure, and therefore some material enjoyment is there. But he should not think this is the good style of life. He should say, "No, this brings me on the material platform." Then gradually, as you show fear, the tendency to enjoy material things subsides, it goes. At that time, bhakti in the form of hearing and chanting Krishna's names becomes prominent. And finally, Krishna himself, the ocean of all wonderful forms and qualities, appears within the devotee. So my dear devotees, happy Janmashtami. You can be encouraged, even if you feel like me, that there are still some material desires or material contaminations in the heart. No problem. Just be honest and pray to Krishna. These things are pulling me, I know. And continue, and this is the most important thing, to hear about Krishna regularly as he is explained in these wonderful shastras, these wonderful treasures which have been given in our hands. And this will churn the heart. And then Krishna will come in the heart with full splendor and brilliance. He will appear. Krishna Jamashtami is our most ecstatic thing, and I want to end this little lecture by just singing His holy name, and we have prepared something for your pleasure. Please watch. This is still empty. This is the spark of hearing about Krishna. And here's the Hare Krishna mantra. Same melody. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare
Sincere desire that on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, and we sincerely wish you all the best for this Jamashtami celebration. May you be fully present in this on this day, fully present in Sambandha, in your relationship to Radha and Krishna, and really try to do something to give them pleasure, Radha and Krishna pleasure. I want to see if you have any questions at this stage. Also want to see, yes, one moment, Jalangi. Hare Krishna, Radhika. Hare Krishna. Please go and find out when the deity bathing is. Not when the plan is, but when it can be. No, it's not. We can wait. We have time. No, yeah, just. Okay, so Gaurahari, I saw you first. Mangalananda, I saw you second. Then our Jalangi, isn't it? Jalangi. Yes. So Gaurahari, please.
Yeah, Umash, could you tell us how, after the appearance of Krishna, how did Nanda Maharaj react? And how did the Vrajpasis react? What happened after Krishna appeared?
Just after Krishna appeared, that's a wonderful question, all the ladies felt in their hearts, he has come, you know, here in Krishna informed them, as we heard just in their hearts. So they came. Rohini was there. You know, Krishna had appeared in the night. So it was very early in the morning. It was in the, you know, Vasudev carried Krishna over after midnight, you know. So he took some time to come to Mathura, so it must have been very early, you know, just before Brahma Muhurta, very early. So they fell, they rose and their head risen and they came. And amongst them there was one elderly Brahmana lady, and she was sent to inform Nanda Maharaj, who was at that time in the cow sheds, overseeing the milking of the cows. She came with a plate of fruits and sesame flowers and sesame seeds, and she said, "O King of Braj, your wife," and then Nanda Maharaj knew already, "has given birth to your son." Nanda Maharaj was trembling in ecstasy. He could also, just like Mother Yashoda, here she was stunned so much that she appeared to be like a painted figure in a painting, not able to really move. So Nanda Maharaj wanted to now, of course, see his son, but this problem was he was shaking in ecstasy. And it is described, he was somehow managing to walk and move, and he thought, "It's only by the mercy of Narayan that I can move and go," you know. In American slang, we would say he lost it, you know. "But only by the mercy of Narayan I can move." So he came just trembling and stumbling and coming, and then beholding Krishna, who looked, you know, when he came in, first Rohini had put a curtain between him and Krishna. There was a curtain. No, you cannot see. No, I cannot see." Then the Maharaj was shocked. And then she opened the curtain, almost like we opened the curtain on the altar. The curtain opened. Then the Maharaj saw the beauty of the limbs of Lord Krishna. It's so beautiful. You know, when Krishna would move, in Vrindavan, his cowherd boyfriends, you know, they were crying tears when he just moved behind a tree, because he was so beautiful. They thought, "This is cruel, we don't see Krishna." They were anxious, and he was behind the tree again. He was visible when he had passed. So that his beauty is so attractive that the greatest suffering is to not see, have this darshan. So once you have that darshan, you are only able to long for this darshan. You can't imagine life without Krishna. Just like the conditioned soul cannot imagine life in a divine atmosphere. You know, the normal state is you can't imagine life without Krishna, without the divine atmosphere. And so he was really, when he saw Krishna, he was just overwhelmed with joy, and he gave away millions of cows, but he did it in real, and you know, not in his mind. He was afraid to give to the Brahmana. Piles of rice and gold he gave away, and then a festival came. The devotee, the Brijbasis, as we even nowadays, they are quite temperamental. They mixed yogurt with colors, and they began to, "Wow, Krishna is born!" they began to celebrate a color festival where they threw jokot on each other. The river of jokot went through Braj. And this way, it was very joyful celebration. Yes, but yes, Nanda Maharaj thought only by the mercy of Narayan he was able to go to Krishna and behold Krishna. He was just so moved, you know, that he lost it in ecstasy. He was lost in ecstasy. Okay, Krishna.
Yeah, Mangala Nanda. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for your wonderful class. You were explaining at one point that Devaki had not been physically pregnant, mm-hmm. but she had been kind of pregnant in her mind, where Krishna manifested. Mm-hmm. And this had been because it was before in Vasudev's mind, and he gave it, so to say, to her.
Yeah.
And it was the word mention of Diksha, like initiation. So there is seemingly a comparison between pregnancy and Diksha. And also, when pregnancy, there are circumstances which fertile pregnancy, and in that comparison, I wanted to know what fertiles that diksha.
Wonderful question.
Mm-hmm. So that the child can be born.
Have you understood Mangalananda's question? Our translator is not, I will repeat it. This process of giving Krishna, which happened at the time of Krishna's appearance, how where Krishna went through from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki, is also compared with the process of initiation of Diksha. It's Sridhar Swami explains it like this, and it's so just like in a normal pregnancy, certain favorable conditions need to be there, or here in this divine pregnancy, so to say, favorable conditions need to be there. Mangalananda asked if there are favorable conditions which help that the diksha is successful. There are favorable conditions. It's first of all the ability to receive this divine gift, which we as disciples have to bring. There are qualifications mentioned for the disciple in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, our guidebook, and that is they mentioned that the disciple should have a keen interest, very alive interest, that I must obtain Krishna in this life. This is a very favorable condition. It's like the condition of the receiving person who has to be receptive, so to say, to this. And then shushushro, then Krishna can enter through the path of hearing. So also the spiritual master is a qualification has to be there. He has to be realized in what he speaks, or he has to be a very, very, very he has to be very connected. See, in our movement, the question has come up of the qualifications of the gurus after Srila Prabhupada. Are they qualified to give initiation? Are they qualified to Krishna, to give Krishna? This question has been raised many times, and I feel it is a very good question. Now, the way Prabhupada addressed the question is that even a guru who is you know, maybe not yet on the highest Uttama level, can still give Krishna if he is properly connected to his spiritual master through hearing the philosophy and rendering his service. It's like electricity. When someone who's connected with electricity gets, the electrical wire, you know, and grabs another person. I don't know if you did this when you were a child. We usually did this. We had five boys, and we would go to electrical current. And so I would usually grab the electrical current because I was always very, very creative and adventurous. And then you know, the last person who's there in the row, he gets it usually. It's not the first one. You know. And this is how, when you are connected, you can give Krishna. You can give the electricity. You know, it's possible. And I think in our movement we have seen this. Even those who are not formally acting as gurus can bring Krishna into the life of someone in the sense that that person becomes encouraged. So favorable conditions is you must be receptive as a disciple, and you must be able to give the spark by being connected. And of course it helps if the guru is realized or realized to some extent. It really helps. Then this process of Krishna and can take place, and the disciple can get a taste for Krishna very easily. It's described in one scripture about favorable conditions that when the knowledge passes through the guru will give something to this transcendental knowledge which helps that the seed of knowledge begins to blossom in the heart of the disciple. The example which is given is the seed of a banyan tree. There's a certain banyan tree which has a seed which falls on the ground, but it can't germinate. Es kann nicht sprießen. Only when a sparrow comes, a certain sparrow, and eats that seed, and the seed passes through the stomach and the digestion of that sparrow, then it comes out and it has a certain layer. I don't know what it is. Maybe a little, I don't know, wet layer or slimy layer. And then when it comes on the ground, it can germinate. In the same way, transcendental knowledge alone is very difficult to understand. But if it is explained by the guru who has some understanding, then, and it passes through him, then with his additional help, this can happen. But for this, you ask for favorable circumstances. It's very important that the disciple can take the knowledge from the guru, and the guru has the ability to explain it in a way that they can understand. And so that there must be, in other words, some favorable compatibility in German. I know you know it, but some of our German listeners may look for the word. Das muss passen zu Deutsch gesagt. Wir haben immer in Deutsch hohes Deutsch und auch einfaches Umgangsdeutsch. Das muss passen. Das muss, you know, das muss passen, einfach die Kombination. So that knowledge can be given and received. Now, so that this compatibility comes about, it is always recommended that the disciple will look for a minimum of 1 year. Can I really accept and understand the knowledge from this person? Does it really go into my heart? And also the guru should really look, can this Is this compatibility? Can he follow what is explained? Is it reaching him? Is it doing something in him? Is he able to take that knowledge? Only when these favorable circumstances are there. Therefore, I was talking a little bit in this lecture. It's called religious polemics. This instant initiation without mutual, testing may not always work, because it just may not happen that the main thing, that giving of knowledge, which is an ongoing process, it goes on through the life, can take place. So this compatibility has to be checked for a minimum of one year, says the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And I was very interested. I found this a few days ago. I read in Prabhupada's lectures about it, and there he repeats this idea which is expressed. So these are some of the favorable conditions for initiation to take place. If you want to, if any one of you is in the situation that they are more interested in this subject matter, I've written a long book on this called the Gayatri Book, where there is a chapter dedicated to the qualifications of disciple and guru and how it can fit. But this, in short, is something which might help. Thank you for this question. Jalangi, what is your question? Yes. Today again. Yes, I have a point here. I want to talk about something. Yes.
I'm wondering and trying to understand how to do it in praxis. Remembering that we are advised to act in such a way that Krishna will see us, and he will come alone from
his. Yes,
bed. And not that we are just calling, "Oh Krishna, Krishna, please come, please come." It seems kind of contradictory. Mm-hmm. And one more point, I was wondering, because like Devaki, she had to lose first.
Six children,
like we have to first to clean ourselves totally from our enemies. Just Krishna could come. So it seems that it's very, very long process. That we have first just concentrate ourselves on hearing or cleaning our heart, and then someday we can invite Krishna.
Mm-hmm. You have really asked two questions which are connected. The first question you have asked is, how do we practically call Krishna in the heart when it's said we just can't just call him? First we have to act in a way that Krishna sees us and then he comes. This is a very good question. How do we get the attention of Krishna? So that he feels inclined to come. And the answer to this question is, I mean, there could be many answers, but I would like to give you an answer which forms really the basis of a seminar which I'm working on and which I intend to give wherever I'm invited to give this. I also thought eventually to make a big seminar here in this beautiful project on this subject. There are five very powerful forms of devotional service which are very, very much able to attract Krishna. And it starts with sadhu sangha, and serving the devotees, in the various ways which we know about. And there's hearing of the Bhagavatam regularly. oh, my dear devotees, I can just from personal experience tell you this regular hearing the Bhagavatam is just so important for Krishna consciousness. It cannot be underestimated. And you know, the Srila Prabhupada's life work was to translate this Bhagavatam and give his disciples the whole Bhagavatam. And he in fact was successful. He was so eager to give this Bhagavatam that he already knew quite in the beginning, maybe I do not stay on this earth long enough and finish the whole thing. Because the 10th canto is almost as long as the whole preceding. It has 80 chapters. It's not as long as, it's like 3 cantos, you know. So maybe, so he was so much in this, he felt so much the need to give Krishna's pastime that he jumped ahead and gave a summary of the 10th canto in the form of Krishna book. Because, you know, this shows you that he really wanted to give the Bhagavatam. And even we know these moving films of Prabhupada's last days amongst us, where he is bedridden and just before leaving a few days, he's still dictating the Bhagavatam. It means the Bhagavatam is very important. It's very much in his mind to give that to the disciples. So regular reading the Bhagavatam is very important. You will feel this blessing that Krishna comes on the lotus of the heart to, that's a verse in the Bhagavatam of someone who regularly hears the Bhagavatam. I personally recommend reading it with this excellent study guide of Mr. Bhagavatam of Buridhan Prabhu. It's called Unveiling His Lotus Feet. That book is just one verse and one purport of Prabhupada after the other. It helps you to understand the Bhagavatam in contextual frame. And but then read by all means the Bhagavatam. Read in Sanskrit if you have this taste, but read it in your language and so on. And then another process which really attracts Krishna in these 5 potent forms is of course chanting the holy names. Then another is worshipping the deity, and the last is residing in the holy Dham. These powerful 5 processes help you to just purify your heart and attract Krishna. You have to study these processes. You have to see how can I do them, and then you will feel that something happens. Prabhupada writes, even a slight contact with these 5 processes is sufficient to produce devotional ecstasies in the neophyte. Imagine. Even a slight contact. He writes as the nectar of devotion. I was also surprised when I read this again. Really? Yeah. And then examples are given for this, that even when a normal person comes to Vrindavan, for instance, he feels devotional delight in his heart. It happens. Or I could see our Iranian devotees, Persian devotees, you know, they come from a Muslim country, Hare Krishna, where deity worship is a no-no. You know, no-no means it's not allowed. And when they stand before the deities, they become tear-filled and ecstatic. Some of them become also tired because they have not slept enough. But when you sleep, when you are, even a slight contact with, it's called moti seva, having the darshan of the deity, it works like that. But of course, Jalangi's question is very good. Why are we not attracted to Krishna? I will ask your question in a different way. We are not attracted to Krishna because we are so covered sometimes with material energy. It's like iron is naturally attracted to the magnet, but when there is rust on the iron, the magnet cannot fulfill its attractive power. It's not working. So we must be a little bit honest and see, my heart is covered with the rust. I have to maybe be a little bit more serious in my devotional practices and become purified.